I'd like to ask you to take God's Word and go with me, please, to 2 Timothy chapter number 3. 2 Timothy chapter number 3. And we're going to look together, beginning in verse number 14. 2 Timothy chapter number 3 and verse number 14. We have taken the theme for 2016, and that theme is to continue with celebrating 75 years of God's faithfulness to our church. Since its inception, its beginning in a tent meeting, a tent revival, and to see how the Lord worked and how God has blessed this church over the past 75 years, I think that's something to pause and say, praise the Lord, thank you, Jesus, and let's ask God to help us in the future, because we don't just want to look back at what God has done, we're looking forward to what God will do. Amen. And I believe the great days, the greatest days of our church are the days ahead. And let's keep that expectancy and that hope. And we're praying that God would enable us to continue for His honor and glory. Now, we've identified five areas that we want to continue in. And we want to continue in the Scriptures. We're praying that God will help us to continue in supplication and prayer. We're praying that God will help us to continue in soul winning. We're asking God to help us to continue in stewardship and asking God to help us continue in service. And so, God willing, we're going to take a little break from the book of Daniel, as we really have been on one. And we're going to look over the next few weeks at these themes, continuing in the Scriptures, supplication, soul winning, stewardship, and service. And this morning, we're here in 2 Timothy chapter number 3 and verse number 14, and our subject is Continue in the Scriptures. That's the title of the message this morning, Continue in the Scriptures. And we're praying that the Lord would allow us to do such. Let's look together, 2 Timothy chapter number 3 and verse 14, But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at His appearing and His kingdom, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears. And they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight, I have finished my course, I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also, that love is appearing. The Apostle Paul is writing to his son Timothy, and he is about to be executed. He's about to be beheaded before his stand for his work in the gospel of Jesus Christ. And as Paul looks back on his life, he says, I'm ready to be offered. He said, I have fought a good fight. I've kept the faith. I've finished my course. And there's a crown waiting on me. And I can't wait to see Jesus. I can just hear the Apostle Paul. He didn't fear death. And he wasn't looking on it with dread. He was anticipating the moment that he would be with Jesus. And as he's leaving, he's writing to Timothy. And he's saying, Timothy, I want you to continue. I don't want you to quit. I want you to understand the day that you're living in is a perilous day. The day that you're going to be facing is a perilous time. And men will turn away from the truth. They will embrace fables But I want you to understand that you are to continue, and we find that the basis of his continuance is listed for us in verse 15. He said, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures. Verse number 16, all scripture. And so we are praying that God would help us, as Paul was writing to Timothy, we're praying that God would help us today to continue in the scriptures, to continue in the scriptures. And if we're going to continue as a church in these dark days, in these deceptive days, we must understand and we must renew our commitment in the fact that the Bible is the foundation for all that we believe and practice. Ours is a day when many have turned their ears from the truth and have been turned to fables. The Bible has been removed from the public arena of our nation. The courts have cast it out. Deluded judges have fought to overrule it. The public education system has sought to discredit it. The pundits and pop culture heroes have mocked and ridiculed it. The scientists and the psychologists, the social engineers, and the philosophers of our day have all declared that the Bible is out of date. Scholars have pronounced it inaccurate and archaic. The culture has treated it as if it is irrelevant. But the truth is, and the sad truth is this, many Christians and many pastors and many leaders have viewed it as a religious relic. Nothing more than just an object of, or a symbol of our faith that basically sits in our car or on a shelf, week in and week out, day in and day out, except for the times that we pick it up to take it to church. But regardless of what men may think, regardless of the place that it may have in some so-called churches today, this book, the Bible, is the Word of God. It's a living book. It's a powerful book. It's a relevant book. It's an everlasting book. And when all the courts have met for the last time and the politicians have delivered their last speech and science has made its final discovery, I'm going to tell you what's going to stand while everything else falls: the Bible, the Word of God. And we're praying that God would help us as a church and as believers to continue in the Scriptures, because the truth of the matter is, if we want God to work, we've got to get back to the Bible. We've got to get back to the Bible. The Bible's important. Your eternal salvation depends on it. Your spiritual growth depends on it. Your faithful witness depends on the Bible. And as we examine what Paul has written to Timothy here, we're going to see some things. And I hope if you have a pen, you're writing these things down. And as we think about this subject, continue in the Scriptures. And as we ask God to help us continue in the Scriptures, there are four things I want you to consider. Number one, I want you to consider the source of the Scriptures. Consider the source. When you weigh the authority of a message, you have to consider the source of that message. And Paul tells us in verse number 16, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. That blessed book that you hold in your hand, that book came from God. God is the author of the Bible. Now, God employed many men to pen it, but God is the author. And we find that the Bible says it is given by inspiration. The Bible comes from God. The Bible is the Word of God. The words of Scripture, the very words that you read on that page, they were inspired by God, though they were recorded by men. They were inspired by God, and God has preserved them throughout the ages, and you have a copy today in your language. The word inspired here, it means God breathed. God breathed. When God made Adam, he formed him out of the dust of the ground, and he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. Adam had a body, but he wasn't a person. He had no life. There was a body there, but there was no life in it. God is the author of life, and God breathed into Adam's nostrils the breath of life, and Adam became a living soul. God is the author of life. God gives life, and God gave His Word, and His Word gives life. And He breathed upon men. He inspired men to record His Word. The Bible tells us in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 21, "For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost." The Bible tells us that the Word of God, the Old Testament, the prophets, and what we have in the New Testament, these words did not come by the will of man. Peter said, "We've not followed cunningly devised fables." This did not come by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. The word moved has the same meaning of a ship as it is carried in the sea by the waves and by the wind. As a ship is moved by external forces, what we find is that the Holy Spirit of God moved upon these men and they penned the very words of Scripture. In the book of Acts chapter number 1, Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples there in the upper room and he said, "Men and brethren, this Scripture must needs have been fulfilled, which the Holy Ghost by the mouth of David spake before concerning Judas, which was guide to them that took Jesus." Now, Peter is leading them to appoint someone or to ask God to direct someone to fill the office of Judas. But he is saying that, listen, this was prophesied by the Holy Ghost before time, and the Holy Ghost moved upon David, and as the Holy Ghost moved upon David, David spake as a result the very Word of God. And so here we find the example of inspiration, and we find that God used men. God used men with their distinct personalities and their faculties and their circumstances and their cultural background. And God used those men to record what He inspired without distortion of the message. God used them. He used old Amos the prophet, who was a rough, tough, kind of gruff guy. And He used Daniel, who was a more refined and more educated type of fellow. God can use any man. God can declare His message through any man, and God chose men to pen the very words of Scripture. And that is how we got the Bible. The Bible is the Word of God, and the source of Scripture is God. And the mechanism by which God recorded His Word is through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit upon the life of a man who, in obedience to God, wrote what God said. And God preserved it, and God has kept it throughout all eternity, and God will keep it through all eternity, and I'm glad that you and I have a copy of it today. And as I open the Bible, and as you open the Bible, I can have confidence that every word of the Bible in its detail, and all of the Bible as a whole, is inspired. And so as I think about continuing in the Bible, I want to consider the source of the Bible, and God has given me the Bible. It's God's message. It's God's Word. It's not just an old book, young people. It's not just a book that you've had in your hand carrying to Sunday school, dear saint, for 40 or 50 years that maybe perhaps you might have lost interest in. I want you to understand it is God's holy Word inspired by God. I want you to consider, number two, not only the source of the Scriptures, but I want you to consider, secondly, the surety of the Scriptures. The surety. Look in verse number 14. He said, "But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them." I remember as a child, I was taught that the Bible is the Word of God. I want to tell you, as a child, I had no problem believing that God made me, that God loved me. I knew I was a sinner. I had no problem knowing that God gave His Word and that the Bible was the Word of God. And if I wanted to know God, I could know Him in His Word. I had no problem knowing that. It wasn't until later on when I was in, as I went through school, that people started telling me that the Bible wasn't true. And I'm thankful that my faith in the Bible remained true and steadfast. I'm thankful that I have the Bible. And as I have lived, as I have experienced life, what I have learned is that the Bible is the Word of God. Not that I needed to learn it, in other words, to prove it to be so, but God, in my own experience in life, has borne witness again by the Holy Spirit with me time and time again that this book is true, that it's the Word of God. And I want you to understand, I'm not just standing before you this morning saying what you expect me to say about this book. I want you to know I believe it with every fiber of my being that the Bible is the Word of God. I have been assured of the accuracy and the veracity of the Holy Word of God. He said, "Continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of." Oh, I'm glad that we can be certain that the word of that the Bible is the Word of God. Now, the Bible is shown to be the Word of God because it is historically accurate. It is historically accurate. The Bible is shown to be the Word of God because of its wonderful unity. The Bible was written over a period of more than 1,500 years. It was written by a number of men from different backgrounds that God moved upon. And I want you to know that the Bible does not contradict itself. The Bible has one theme, that is the Jesus Christ. He's the hero, He's the subject, He's the theme. And I want you to know that the Bible is a perfectly unified book. The Bible is shown to be the Word of God because of its fulfilled prophecy. What God said would come to pass has come to pass. Now there are prophecies that yet remain to be fulfilled. But we understand by looking at the prophecies which have that we can have confidence that those will be. And by the way, everything is coming to pass just as God said it would. The Bible is shown to be the Word of God because of its ever-living quality. I'm telling you, the Bible is more relevant today than it's ever been. And it's more accurate than the Wall Street Journal or the New York Times. I want you to know the Bible is a living book and its ever-living quality. The Bible is shown to be the Word of God because of its transforming power. Its transforming power. The Bible said that we are born again by the Word of God. The incorruptible seed of the Word of God has produced everlasting life in you and I. And so we can know that the Bible is the Word of God. But Paul says, Timothy, not only do we have all those things to help us understand that the Bible is true, he said, in your personal experience, you have learned it and you have been assured of it. In your personal walk, in your personal experience. And I thought about Timothy's personal experience. The Bible said that from a child, he knew the Holy Scriptures. From his childhood, Timothy was taught the Word of God. Hey, that's why it's important for our children to hear the Word of God. That's why it's important for our children to be in Sunday school. That's why it's important for them to come to Conqueror Club. And that's why it's important for you at home to teach the Bible and read the Bible and memorize the Bible, to teach them the Word of God. And so Timothy, from a child, was taught the Word of God. His primary teachers were his grandmother Lois and his mother Eunice. But as a young man, Timothy heard a powerful preacher come through town whose name was Paul. And Paul opened up the Old Testament scriptures. And he began to talk about those patriarchs. And he began to talk about the fall in the Garden of Eden. And he talked about how that God tried to redeem a people, but they turned against Him. And so God chose a man named Abraham, and he chose a peculiar people and called him out. Through Abraham and his seed, all the nations of the earth would be blessed. He preached about the law and the ceremonies and the offerings. He preached through the poetic books, and he preached through the prophecies. And as he preached, the Holy Spirit of God began to bear witness in the heart of Timothy. And Timothy said, you know, I can see all the pieces of the puzzle coming together, and I see the fulfillment of all of these things, and I find Him in the person of Jesus Christ. And Timothy dropped to his knees. He confessed that he was a sinner. He called on the name of the Lord Jesus to be his Savior, and his life was forever changed. He knew the Scriptures, and they were able to make him wise unto salvation. A lot of people who know a lot of things about the Bible, but they've never been made wise unto salvation. As Timothy, not only in his own personal experience, came to know the Lord, but as he examined the lives of his mother, his grandmother, Paul, and other believers, Timothy saw their lives powerfully affirm the truth of the Holy Scriptures. Their lives demonstrated that the Word of God was true, that God kept His promises, that the gifts and callings of God were without repentance, and that the grace of God was sufficient. Oh, that's why it's so important to be in a Bible-believing, Bible-preaching church, to be among God's people, to let your children get around the people of this church, to see them go through difficulties and trials, to see them week in and week out remain faithful to God, to see that the Word of God is not just some theory, but it can be lived out practically every day in the life of God's people. And I want to tell you what that does. That assures us that what we believe and what we proclaim is true. And it does a deep abiding work in our heart. But as Timothy lived out his own life and ministry, as he studied, as he preached, as he labored, as he endured, as he suffered, and as he grew in the grace and knowledge of the Lord, he was conformed more and more to the image of Christ. The Word of God worked effectually in his life, and he developed deep, deep, abiding convictions that God's Word was true. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5 and verse number 18, "For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled." You know what Jesus said? He said, "You can take it to the bank. If I said it, it's true. I'm going to keep my promises. I'm going to perform what I said to you." And Paul said to Timothy, "Not only have you learned it, you've been assured of it." And so we can continue in the Scriptures because we understand, number one, the source. It's from God. It's the Word of God. Number two, because of the surety of the Scriptures, the fact that they're true and God will keep His Word and perform what He has promised. Number three, we consider not only those things, but we consider now the supremacy of the Scriptures. The supremacy of the Scriptures. Notice what the Bible says in verse number 15. Are you looking there, please? "And that from a child thou hast known the," what's the next two words? "Holy Scriptures." The Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All, say it with me, Scripture is given by inspiration of God. We find that the Bible is the supreme book of all books. The word holy here means sacred. It means sacred. The word scripture means writing, letter, document, or book. Many books have been written. My wife went to the library the other day and she checked out four books. We had to move books to find a place to put those books. Solomon said, "There are many, many books, and I want you to know there are many, many books. And they've been written, and they're filled, some of them, with good information. And many of them are filled with false information. A few offer solutions to the problems they discuss, but only one addresses the real problem of humanity. And only one has a solution. Only one book has the answer, and that's the Bible. The Bible addresses the real problem of man: sin, suffering, and death. That's the real problem of man. And only the Bible has the answer. Jesus, He's the answer. And so the Bible stands alone among all books. It is the supreme book. It is the supreme book. How much time have we spent this week in the supreme book? It's supreme because, number one, it is authoritative. It is authoritative. The Bible is the Word of God. When they sent the men to try to cause Jesus to stumble in His words, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, they sent Him to try to trip up Jesus. Can you imagine that? Trying to trip up Jesus. And they came back with this report. They said, never a man spake like this man. The Bible says as they heard Him speak, they took note of Him because He didn't speak like the Pharisees and the Sadducees. He didn't speak like the politicians and the pundits. He didn't speak like the actors and the musicians. He didn't speak like the educators and the philosophers and the scientists. No, He spoke with authority the Word of God. And when He spoke, the winds and waves obeyed His will. When He spoke, even the spirits, the demonic spirits that plagued humanity, were subject unto Him. I want to tell you, the Bible is supreme because of its authority. It is the Word of God. There is no higher authority. The Supreme Court does not have more authority than the Word of God. The President, the United Nations, all the leaders of the world have no authority compared to the Scripture, and they would have none if God didn't grant it to them. The Bible is authoritative. Not only is it authoritative, and that makes it supreme, but it is immutable. It is immutable. That means it doesn't change. Hey, listen, God's book does not change with the times. God's book does not change with the times. The book of Revelation tells us, hey, listen, you better watch out. Woe to the man that adds anything to the words of this book, and woe to the man who takes anything away from the words of this book. There's one thing you better not mess with. There's one thing you better not be so presumptuous as to change or to edit, and that is, my friend, the Word of God. It is immutable. It is everlasting. It is eternal. It is irrelevant today. It is as relevant today as it was in days gone by. But sadly, as we see, our culture changing. In fact, I think I read an article, or I didn't actually read the article, but I saw the headline that the Pope, who has no authority over me or you, but who is the leader of the Catholic Church, the Pope said that he thinks the church ought to reconsider its positions on sexual morality and let the conscience of the individual determine some of those matters. Do you know what he's doing? He is capitulating to the spirit of this age. We've seen that happen in mainline Protestantism here in our nation. We've seen that happen. But I want to tell you, though churches may capitulate and change and adapt to this age, let me tell you what will not change: the Bible, the Word of God. God's Word will never change. God's Word is true. One preacher said the church has no right to rewrite what God has written. The church has no right to rewrite what God has written. God was, and God is speaking to us. I want you to note that. God was, and God is speaking to us. People say, boy, I wish I could hear from God. I wish God would help me out in this situation. I wish I could hear from God today. Well, God, what do you think about America? What do you think about this situation? What do you think about how I should work out this problem in my marriage? And what do you think about how I should bring up my children? What do you think about how a church should operate? It's funny how many crazy notions people get about churches. And what do you think a church ought to do? What do you think, God? Oh, I wish God would speak to me. May I say to you that He already has? And may I say to you that if you'll simply open the pages of the Word of God, not only will you find that God has spoken, but you will find that God is still speaking today. His Word is immutable. That makes it supreme. Not only is it immutable, it is inerrant. Psalm 12, 6 and 7. The words of the Lord are pure words. As silver tried in the furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation and forever. I believe that that is speaking about the Word of God. God is keeping His Word. God will perform His Word. And God will preserve His Word for all generations. And I want to tell you, the words of God are pure. That means there's no error in them. You won't find one. You may think you found one, but in your little limited mind and with your little limited perspective, you don't know all that God knows. And the things that you think are wrong are not wrong. And I want to tell you, if I serve a God who spoke the world into existence, who loved me, who sent His Son to redeem me, who rose again the third day, and He can't get me the Bible without error, then He's not the God I think He is. But I'm telling you, He is the God who He said He is. He is the God that I know Him to be, and He's given me His Bible. He's not trying to trip me up, keep me in a guessing game, keep me on a lifelong pursuit trying to figure out the way to heaven and find myself. No, God wants to reveal Himself to you, and His book is true. It is inerrant. It is infallible. It is everlasting. It's the Bible. My goodness, we got to get back to it. It's supreme because it's authoritative, it is immutable, it's inerrant. I've already said it, it's everlasting. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 25. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 25. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. The word of the Lord endures forever. Oh, the psalmist said, for the Lord is good, His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endureth to all generations. Psalm 105, verse 8. He hath remembered His covenant forever, the word which He commanded to 1,000 generations. Hey, young person, this is better than any text message. It's better than any Facebook post, Mom. I want to tell you, this is the best book in the world. This is the Bible. It's relevant. It's everlasting. It's powerful. It'll change your life if you'll just get in the Bible. Well, we want to continue in it. And we considered the source of the Scriptures. It's inspired by God. We considered the surety of the Scriptures. We can be assured that this is the Word of God. We consider the supremacy of the Scriptures. This isn't just a book. This is the Holy Writings. This is God's book. And it's supreme. And then we considered, finally, the sufficiency of the Scriptures. Would you notice it with me, please? In verse number 16, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. The Bible's purpose is to reveal God to man, to make man aware of his Creator, his rebellion against Him, his fallen nature, God's work to redeem man, and how that man can be restored into fellowship with God, having his sins forgiven, and have everlasting life. It is a powerful book. It is a book that is sufficient enough to reveal what God wants man to know. It is sufficient enough to transform that man once he knows it. Notice what the Bible says here. He says that this Scripture was able, Timothy, to make thee wise unto salvation. You know, we live in a dark world. We live in a wicked world. People are saying the most bizarre, outlandish things. They're so shrouded in blindness and darkness. They're wandering around like blind men, not knowing at what they stumble. And we hear them, and we see their actions, and we wonder, how in the world can they think like that? And what in the world is it going to take for them to see the truth? And I want to tell you what it will take. It will take the proclamation of the Bible. It'll take the preaching of the Word of God. That's what it will take. Because it is able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. God's Word is all sufficient. And everything you and I need as believers is found in the Bible. Notice again, verse 16, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine. That's our beliefs and teachings. For reproof, that's the power to convict us of our sin and to show us where we're wrong. for correction, set us on the right course, for instruction in righteousness, to cause development of discipline and development of Christian character. And you know what I find? I don't need this once a month or once a year. I need this three or four times a day. I need doctrine. I need to know what I believe and why. I need reproof. I need to be told when I'm wrong or when I got a wrong attitude or a wrong spirit or a wrong philosophy or a wrong thought. I need to know it. And the Bible, like a sword, cuts right into me. And it hurts, brother. It hurts. But the Bible shows me where I'm wrong. And I need to be shown that. And you know why some of you, and oftentimes I, can walk in our own deceit, our own self-deception, and our own error. And we can develop the wrong thoughts and attitudes and stubbornness and hardness. Do you know why? Do you know why we can do that? Because we're not exposing ourselves to the Bible. To the Bible. It'll reprove us. It'll correct us. It'll get us on the right course. I think about that passage says, if you come to the altar and you pray and you remember that your brother has something against you, you go and make that right. I'm glad he didn't say, if you come to the altar and pray and you got something against your brother, he's got something against you, go back to your seat. Because you might as well not pray. He tells me not only am I wrong for that, but he tells me how to correct that. Instruction in righteousness, how to live the life of righteousness to cause the development and discipline that I need. To develop the Christian character that I need. And here's the end result. The man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. That means he's going to be complete. That means he's not missing anything. There's nothing that he needs. There's no glaring problems or absences of character in his life because the Word of God is truly furnishing him, fully equipping him to be all that he needs to be. And so we believe the Bible is the Word of God. And we continue in it because of the sufficiency of the Scriptures. What will get the job done in your life? The Bible. What will get the job done in your home? The Bible. What will get the job done in our church? The Bible. What will get the job done in our community? The Bible. It's the sword of the Spirit. And I want to tell you, nothing else is going to get the job done. Nothing else is going to get the job done. Martin Luther wrote, "What more can he say than to you he hath said, to you who for refuge to Jesus hath fled?" There's nothing left for him to say. He said it all when he spoke his word. May God help you and I to continue in the Scriptures. Well, what does that mean, Pastor? Well, I think, number one, it means we've got to hear it. We've got to hear it. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. I'm amazed. I had one man made this statement this week. I don't know if he made it to me or made it to someone else. It got to me. People can sit in services week in and week out, hear the Word of God preached, and it seemingly have no effect in their lives. None. You got to hear it. And then when you hear it, you got to receive it. You got to receive it. Then you have to respond to it. My wife will talk to me sometimes, usually at the worst times, from my perspective. And she'll say, "Are you listening to me?" And I get really nervous. But I always like it when I can repeat everything she's just said. But she'll always find one or two phrases that I misstated just to show she's got one on me. You know, God speaks to us. But if we don't respond, He may wonder, are we listening? Respond to the Word of God. Obey the Word of God. Why call you me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I command? Well, I'll tell you right now, preacher, I believe that Bible's the Word of God from cover to cover. But yeah, but you don't do a thing to obey it. Walk in it. That means live in it. Keep it. Keep it in your heart. Keep it in your mind. I will hide the word of God. He said, I will hide thy word in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Be conformed to it. Let it change you. Let it change you. Study it. Memorize it. Proclaim it. This church will only be as strong as our conviction and our practice of the Holy Scriptures. May God help us. Your home will only be that strong. The Bible, like a sword, cuts us. It's like a mirror. It reveals our blemishes. Like a lamp, it leads us along our path. Like water, it washes us. And like a hammer, it can beat us into submission if we'll yield to it. Continue in the Scriptures.